Pamela Logan is a fourth-degree black belt in karate. For her, karate is about the connections between the body, the mind, and the spirit. It is not enough to know the moves. Logan seeks to understand the philosophy of the martial arts. So she went to Tibet in search of the Kampas, a mysterious heroic warrior people from the region of Kham. Logan writes about her search in a book called Among Warriors. She told Anne Strangechamps she heard the Kampas were the ultimate warriors.
People who were living in some kind of medieval concept of what a warrior is, a guy on horseback with a long sword and maybe a bow and arrow, or, well, actually, they had rifles and shotguns, but a guy who's really out there, you know, putting himself forward for something he believes in.
So you'd been thinking about, for some years, I guess, the nature of martial arts and what it means to be a warrior. You were fairly far advanced in the world of karate, right?
Well, I don't know. Advanced is always relative. And now I have many teachers, so it's a long path with no end. But I've been training since 1978, so it's 25 years now. And I like to think that I have adopted at least some of the ideals of martial arts training into my life. One of those principles is that you're always looking for ways to face yourself and things to do that are really, really hard, that are going to demand the maximum from you. And I knew this journey to Kham was going to do that.
So did you see a connection between the Kampas, these almost mythical kind of warriors, and your own karate practice?
Well, you know, a lot of people, when they heard about this trip, kind of expected that what I would find out there is a karate dojo or training hall and some kind of formal training and ritualized practice in some way parallel to what I do here and, of course, what martial artists do around the world. Tibet has nothing like that. What I found instead, which was far more spiritually elevating, was the way that Buddhism is practiced. Tibetan Buddhism is practiced in Tibet and, of course, by many Westerners, too, around the world.
Tell me about your trip. I mean, you did eventually set off to try to find the Kampas. You wound up bicycling around China, this solo trip. Were you afraid?
Actually, I would say not. There were certainly plenty of times when I was nervous, and there were plenty of times where I just didn't know what was going to happen next. Probably the hardest thing was trying to go to Lhasa illegally, you know, trying to hide in trucks and, you know, and walk around checkpoints and stuff like that. But in the end, I decided that the trip to Lhasa was not the most important thing. What I found instead, which related most to my martial arts training, was seeing and talking to and sharing with the pilgrims that I met along the road. What you have in Tibetan Buddhism, which I think may set it apart from some other kinds of Buddhism, is a tradition of making a pilgrimage in the hardest way possible. And in particular in Tibet, they will make pilgrimages by means of prostrations, which is you stretch out on the ground at full length on your stomach and reach the farthest point you can with your fingertips, and then you stand up and you walk to that point, and then you stretch out again. And you do this the whole length of your journey.
How long might a journey be?
It might be 1,000 miles.
This must take years.
It can, yeah, particularly if they stop and they may spend some time at a monastery or some other sacred site. They may spend some weeks or months. They're not in a hurry. But what was most important to me to see this was the idea that through the repetition of this physical exercise, in some way that your mind and your spirit can be cleaned up. And it's through this physical exercise, which is hugely demanding, that something happens to your mind. And this is something that related very closely to what I have learned and trained as a martial artist, which is about doing kata. Kata is a sequence of physical movements or techniques, and it's not a sequence that you just make up out of your head. They're passed down from masters of the past, and each kata, we have 15 of them that we practice. Each one has its own strong character, and it also has lots of secrets locked inside about fighting and about movement, about breathing, about timing and rhythm, and all kinds of things. And as you repeat this thousands of times, these secrets slowly start to yield up to you, and you incorporate them into your own way of fighting.
Did you ever try doing any of the prostrations yourself?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I really recommend anybody who is going to Tibet to actually try to do this.
Why? It sounds grueling and physically uncomfortable.
Oh, no, not to make a long trip, but you can do prostrations. You can do, 10 or 15 or 20 or 100. And some people, as a daily spiritual practice, will undertake some kind of program of prostrations, and you can do them in your living room. You don't have to do them on the road. You don't have to use them as a form of locomotion. I don't think you need to be a Buddhist or give up any other, beliefs that you may have in order to benefit from this. You just need to have kind of an open mind.
Looking back on it now, what do you think that trip did for you?
Well, it really brought me close to those particular people. And the warriors were, in a way, they were all around me. In some sense, they were every single person there who had ever undertaken some kind of pilgrimage or undertaken some task in quest of a higher level of spiritual development in the Buddhist tradition.
So it sounds like for you, the pilgrims were the most warrior-like of all the people
you met. Definitely.
And did your coming to realize that change, do you think, anything about your own practice of martial arts?
Well, I think I began to realize more explicitly about how training exercises, and in particular kata, are a form of spiritual development, not just physical development, not just a tool for learning how to do techniques X, Y, and Z. It's about some kind of integration between your mind and body and how that elevates you in a way and makes you feel better and stronger as a person than you would otherwise. And this effect spreads itself throughout everything that you do. It's not just what you do in the training floor or what you might do in a fight. It's about every step that you take, about the way you treat the people around you, and the way you go about life.
Pamela Logan is the author of Among Warriors. She spoke with Anstrain Champs.